man, I wish I had the heavy coat. I don't have a light coat, so I took my heavy coat. It wasn't because of great planning on my part. It was just because I don't have a really light coat. I got 2-3 heavy coats, so I was prepared, even though I didn't realize I was needing to be prepared. I don't pay attention to the weather, man. Someone asked one time, don't you listen? I said, yeah, I walk outside. If it's raining, I go back in and get an umbrella. If it's hot, I leave my jacket. If it's cold, I get my jacket. That's what I pay, because of weather, man. One, I don't watch much TV or news anyway, and most of the time they're not correct, so I don't worry about it too much. Ezekiel chapter 44 in your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 44. I want to look at something. I taught some of this to the teens the other day. I'm going to go a little farther than I did with them, but I want to speak on a subject tonight that I hope will be a help and a blessing to us. Ezekiel chapter 44, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel 44, verse 1 and verse 2. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. So the gate was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. So he's talking about some gates that are shut. Tonight I want to speak for just a few moments. I guess that's kind of funny, because I probably won't speak a few moments. I'll speak for a little while. That's more generic and it's safer. Speak for a little while on this thought, close the gate. Father, bless tonight. Help us, Lord, that we might look at the truth from the Word of God, that we might be, Father, see something that would be a help and a blessing to us. Be with our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. Close the gate. Now, if you've ever lived on the farm, you realize there's one rule on the farm that, you have lots of rules, but there's one rule even if you're visiting on the farm, there's one rule they will tell you, and that is close the gate. The reason they have a gate is it keeps bad things out. It keeps the good things in. And if you've lived on the farm, you realize the French, if you come to my house and you leave the gate open, my wife's horse. Now, you say, why is it your wife's horse? Because I don't claim it, and she's one that wanted it, so I got it for her. But my wife's horse will get out on the road. Also, my cows and my wife, our cows will get out on the road because for some reason the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Now, it can be the same grass outside as there is inside, but they always want to go get the grass that's outside. So if you leave the gate open, the livestock gets out. If you leave the gate open to some other areas, for instance, one of the things that probably is the biggest, if you've ever got really angry, it'll be if you've ever planted a garden or had a field of crops, and then someone left the gate open and the livestock gets in there. They can make a tragic mess over hours and hours and hours of work, and sometimes it won't recover. I mean, I remember one time, and again, my dad was not a crop farmer. There are folks, there's several different types of farming. There's farming where they plant crops. We did not have tractors and discs and plows and things like that. We hauled hay for some guys that did that. But there's all kinds of things that they plant. They'll plant wheat and oats and beans and sorghum, and they plant all kinds of things that they'll plant, millet, and they'll plant all kinds of grains out there. We were not that kind of farmer. The kind of farmer that my dad was, we had livestock. So we had pigs and we had cows, so my dad was a livestock farmer. Some farmers will have both. But again, most farmers, they either do the crops or they do the livestock. But when you have livestock and crops, and I remember, I don't remember who it was, whether it was one of my uncles or one of my neighbors, but they had a bunch of stuff planted. And again, when corn first comes up, or any type of stuff first comes up, I mean, all the animals love it. At the end of deer season, one of the reasons we struggle getting deer to come to our deer feeders at the end of the deer season is because the winter wheat and the winter oats is just coming up. And they haven't had anything green for months. So when that oats and that wheat gets up in the farmer's field about that tall, the deer just go out and herd. They just go out in herds and stand out in those fields and eat those little stalks. I used to plant a garden out a little ways from the house, and we put a fence around to keep the cows out. Now again, this was 25 years ago. We hadn't had a garden in this area, so we didn't even think about the other danger. But the danger wasn't my cows. They were the least of my worries. I kept the cows out. Can anyone tell me what got in and messed up most of my garden?
Deer.
Not the deer. They couldn't get over. They didn't go over the fence either. Stinking rabbits. Wild rabbits will get in. Now, again, I had a fence, just to say that my fence was, the boundaries here, about 6 feet in from both fences, because every night the sprouts would grow a little bit, and to them that was the real tender stuff, so they'd eat everything for about 6 feet in, whatever vegetable I planted on that side of the fence, whatever vegetable. And my wife had a rule. She told me, you can't shoot those rabbits, because my wife appreciated the rabbits. They were the only animals on the farm that doesn't cost us anything. I mean, up to that point, now that I had the garden, it did. But again, we don't feed the rabbits. We feed the ducks. We feed the chickens. We feed the when we had pot-bellied pigs, we fed the pigs. We feed the cows. We feed the horse. So my wife says, you can't shoot my rabbits. So I told my wife, then you keep your rabbits out of my garden, because your rabbits keep eating my garden. We're going to eat some rabbits. And again, I shot several rabbits that year. Still didn't keep them from getting all into their stuff. They love those little sprouts. But if the cows get into the field, and I've seen cows get in the field, and typically, the way the gate gets left open is you left that evening to leave, and then you don't go back till the next morning. And when cows have been in the field all night long, they can wreak havoc. I mean, I've seen times, I mean, they did thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage in one night. So again, understand there's on the farm there's a great reason for closing the gate. But again, in the Christian life, we want to spend, and that's what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at some gates and look at some reasons to close the gate in our Christian lives as well. First thing I want you to understand, and you can flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We'll be there in just a moment, Luke chapter 22. The first reason to close the gate is because if you don't close the gate, your enemies will come in. Now, we keep a gate. Most of us keep a gate, or we have a door on our house, and we have locks on it, and that's to keep people out. That is not usually to keep people in. That is to keep people out, because if you don't, the enemy will come in. In Luke chapter 22, notice verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 says, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And he said he'd like to get you, and he'd like to mess you up. Now again, the devil would like to get any one of us and mess us up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, for because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now the reason we have gates is to keep the enemy out. The enemy wants to come in. Now, the policeman will tell you, if you lock your house and you have certain precautions, you may still get robbed, but you're less likely to be robbed. Same thing if your car is. If you leave your car unlocked in a parking lot, because the thieves, a lot of times when we're walking along, they'll just check doors, and they're looking to see if there's a door unlocked. And if you leave your door unlocked, that just leaves them. I mean, they don't have to break a window to get in. You just made it easy for them. And then they will hotwire it and drive off. Now, by the way, locking it, if there's someone's really good at stealing our car, locking it doesn't, I mean, it's not going to stop them anyway. I watched a show on TV one night and it amazed me. They had a guy with a key stand on the one side of the car and the thief stand on the other side of the car. And before the guy with the key could open the door and get in, when he opened up the door to get in, the thief was sitting in the other seat. He was already in. I mean, a good thief, apparently. Now, again, that's the professional ones. That's not your knucklehead kid in the neighborhood. But that thief got in the car quicker than the guy with the key did. But the truth is, we close gates to keep the enemy out. And the Lord told Peter, listen, the devil wants to get a hold of you, Peter. Now, listen, the devil wants to get a hold of any of us and all of us. But especially when we think of this, he especially wants to get over our young people and our kids, because they're much easier targets. Again, much, much simpler targets. I mean, you can do much more damage to the young than you can to the elderly. Again, close the gate because your enemy will come in. Number two, close the gate, or all that you work for will be destroyed. Now, I just mentioned the garden and the crops, but let me give you some verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 13 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 13. One of the stories in the Bible talks about a fellow that sowed some wheat. And he got his wheat growing really good. He planted his wheat. And when it grew up, he realized there was a problem. And his workers came to him, and that's what we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, he sowed the wheat. He sowed the good stuff. But the problem was, the enemy came in. Now, he did all the work. He had plowed the field. I mean, he did all the work. He did all the prep. And it's a lot of work to prepare the field. I mean, you don't just walk out. If you walk out and just throw seed on top of the ground, most of it's not going to grow. You got to till it up. You got to disc it. You got to break up the clods. You got to get rid of the rocks. I mean, you got to get rid of the old grass. I mean, a lot of work to go into it. But the field was prepared by this guy. He planted his crops. But while they slept, the Bible says the enemy came in and they sowed tares. Now, his worker said, what do you want us to do? Go out there and pull those tares up? And he said, no, you can't do that, because when you pull those up, it's so close to the wheat. When you pull that up, you'll pull the wheat up as well. We have to wait till it gets bigger, till it's harvest time, and then we will put the wheat in one bundle, and we'll put the tares in another bundle, we'll burn the tares, and we'll keep the wheat. But again, understand the devil and the enemy wants to come in. Again, the gate, if you don't close the gate, if we don't lock the gate, if we don't keep the enemy out, everything that we work for will be destroyed. It is so simple for the devil to if we let our guard down for just a moment. It doesn't have to be for weeks or months. We let our guard down for a moment. I'm not a big boxing fan, as some of you are. So if you've watched a boxing match, you realize if the guy lets his guard down, it only takes one punch to knock him out. One good punch, and I mean, he's out of it. Whether it knocks him completely out or just it hurts him so bad he doesn't recover from the fight. Now, in a normal boxing match, they throw hundreds of punches. They hit each other many, many times. But not just one of those, I mean, clear punches where, I mean, he's wide open and the guy swings with all of his might and hits him. And usually if that happens, that's the end of the fight. And by the way, the devil doesn't, again, he's like an animal that continually patrols the fence, just trying to find a hole, trying to find a way to get in. I mean, and he wants to get in to do some destruction. So again, we close the gate. Otherwise, all that we've worked for will be destroyed. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "So built we the wall, And all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Why did they build those walls? They built those walls to protect their people from the enemy. The enemy wanted to destroy the Israelites. And Sanballat and Tobias and some of the other folks out there, I mean, now they joked and mocked the Jews. But the truth is, they did not want the wall to get finished, because they knew if the wall got finished, that, again, you don't have to be near as strong when you got a wall between you and the enemy as you do if it's just you and the enemy. Because, again, it's much harder for them to fight uphill than it is for you to fight downhill. When you're up here, you can pour stuff on people. If you've ever, years ago, we used to play a game called King of the Mountain. How many of you have played King of the Mountain? Now, the guy on top has an advantage. I mean, it's much easier up here if messing with the folks down here than it is for them to try to go uphill. That's why the enemy, in almost any battle, you know what they try to get? The high ground. They don't try to get the low ground. They try to get the high ground. Because when you get the high ground, you can see much farther. And you also, I mean, it's much easier. Now, again, understand, the devil knows that. So he likes it when we don't close the gate. He likes it when we don't have walls. Because, again, it's much easier for him to come in and destroy all that we work for. The devil will try to convince you that walls are confining and bad. Now, young people have the tendency to think that way. They have a tendency to think mom's and dad's rules or the church's rules and the Bible rules are just to keep me from having any fun, and that's not true. Truth is, we do all kinds of stuff at Liberty Baptist Church, and your parents do all kinds of stuff to try to help you have fun and have a good time, but it's always without the aftertaste in your mouth that the world gets when they go out and drink and smoke and do crazy stuff. Again, there's no gravel in the mouth the next morning. They didn't have that bad feeling. So close the gate, otherwise all that you've worked for will be destroyed. The third truth is close the gate on your past. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul made this statement. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now notice what he said he did next. Forgetting those things which are behind. And he had reason to forget some stuff. He had some bad memories. I'm not going to ask you now how many of you have some bad memories in your past, but most of us do. It doesn't matter whether you saved at 9 or 29. The truth is, I told the young people I did worse stuff after I was saved than I did before I was saved. I got saved when I was 9. It's not like I was a drug addict and a pot seller and I wasn't drinking and doing bad, I mean, at 9 years of age. The truth is, most of us, even after we got saved, we've done some things that we're ashamed of, things we're not too proud of. And you know what? If you're not careful now, the Bible teaches, it makes it very clear that when you and I confess that to Jesus, you know what he does? He forgets it. He forgives it and he forgets it. He buries it in the deeper sea and he puts it, I mean, as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. Now, that's not true of you and I, and that's not true of the devil. The devil would love to come and sit on your shoulder and tell you why you can't live for the Lord because of your past. It might even be yesterday's sins. But the truth is, there is no perfect individual Liberty Baptist Church. Brother Nicholas isn't perfect. None of the staff are perfect. None of the teachers are perfect. None of the leaders as far as the deacons or the ushers or the choir members or the children's church workers or the bus workers or the Sunday school teachers, none of them are perfect. If we was waiting on perfect people to teach class, we'd have nobody teaching. If we was waiting for a perfect preacher to preach, we'd have nobody to preach, because there is no such thing as a perfect individual. There was one time, but they hung him on a cross. There hasn't been any since then. Again, close the gate on your past. What Paul says is, he says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. Now, what he says is, I forget about the things back there that I can't change. You know what I do? I'm working really hard to make to do something in the future that's worthwhile. Brother Vineyard used to put it this way. He said, before I was saved, I gave 100% to the devil. So when I got saved, I decided I should give 100% to God. And it is amazing to me that sometimes Christians live for the devil 100%. When they get saved, they give God. We're lucky sometimes we get 10%. We're lucky we get the tithe. But for the devil, I mean, they went all out. You find young folks and people they live for the devil every weekend. But when it's coming to church, you know, it's funny. When it came to get drunk every weekend, they never were too busy to get drunk every weekend. But they're too busy to go to church every weekend. Because that's the only few days I'm off. Again, when they were drunk, trust me, sometimes they slept through the weekend. They didn't even realize the weekend. I mean, someone had to wake them up Monday morning and said, you got to get up and get to work. I mean, they wasted the weekend. When you could use the weekend for something godly, I mean, they are just too busy. But again, understand, we got to close the gate on our past. Don't go back. By the way, don't look back. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, the Bible makes this statement. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, you know what? You're pretty now, I don't know if you've ever tried to drive looking in the back seat. Typically, when you look in the back, you know what happens? You end up on the shoulder or the ditch or the other car. I mean, the truth is, that's why they tell you when you're driving, you're supposed to keep your eyes on the road. My granddaughter, God bless her little heart. Now, I drive sometimes with one hand, sometimes I drive with my knee. But she'll be sitting in the back seat in her car seat, in all of her grand experience of car driving, I'll be driving and she'll say, "Grandpa, is your hands on the wheel?" And I'll say, "Emily, I don't have to have both hands on the wheel." And I said, "Emily, have I ever had a wreck since you've been with me?" I said, "I may have one today." I said, "I don't know." But I said, "Have I had any wrecks since you've been with me?" "No." "Then I'm fine, Emily. Mind your own sting of business." She always asked, "Do you have both hands on the wheel?" I don't know who taught her you're supposed to have both hands on the wheel. Apparently they teach driving school to six-year-olds. I don't know. Or maybe her mom or dad taught her that. I don't know. But sometimes, Grandpa, now the other day I was doing something with both hands, and I was driving with my knee. How many of you ever driven with your knee? I just want to make sure there's some other guilty parties here. Thank you. Okay. I'm not the only one that doesn't have his hands on the wheel or her hands on the wheel. Sometimes I drive with my knee. And again, I'm a pretty good driver with my knee. Now, I mean, it's not like I can turn, you know, real strict. I can't turn a 90 degree, but I can even take a curve with my knee. I'm a pretty safe driver with my knee. My knees, I mean, I have very talented knees. And so I was driving the other day with my knee. I had my hand doing something, and the other hand was doing something else, and that was when she brought it up again. She says, "Grandpa, you do not have a hand on the wheel." Now, that time she was correct. The other time I had one hand on the wheel, just not both of them. But that time I had no hands on the wheel. And I said, "Emily, am I in the ditch?" And she said, "No." I said, "Then just mind your own business. Play with your toys or whatever it is you're doing back here and let Grandpa drive." But understand, again, we don't want to look back, because when you look back, they tell you that most of the accidents are because of distracted driving. By the way, I can tell you most accidents in Christians' lives are from distracted driving. We don't have our eyes on the goal. We don't have our eyes on Christ. We're not pressing toward the mark like Paul told us to do. Instead, we're looking around. Sometimes we're looking within. Sometimes we're looking behind. Sometimes we're looking someplace we're not supposed to look. Find any track runner worth their salt. And I can guarantee you this, they will sometimes try to look over their shoulder a little bit, but sometimes when they do that, they'll stumble. They keep their eyes on the goal. They just keep going as fast as they can in the right direction. They try to not be distracted. Again, you got to when you close a gate, you close it on your past. Paul said, "I forget those things which are behind, and I'm pressing toward the mark. I've got something that's important in front of me that I'm working on." Again, close a gate on your past. Number four, close a gate on evil influences. Notice Proverbs chapter 1, verse we often quote. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 makes this statement: "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Years ago, the world came out with a big statement. They were mainly talking about drugs, but the statement was, "Just say no." By the way, long before they came up with that little statement in the public school and wherever else they came up with it, Proverbs was written a long time ago, long before they had a public school. And you know what God told young people to do? Say no to sin. That's what he told them. He was telling them to say no to sin, I mean, thousands of years before anyone else came up with that idea. And what he says is, if sinners entice you, if they try to talk you into it, they try to lure you away, tell them no. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, a verse we often quote, and I think Brother Ross or Brother Nichols quoted it just recently. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Again, we have to close the gate on evil influences. I don't have any friends that smoke. I don't have any friends that drink. I don't hang out with folks that watch the wrong kind of TV shows. I don't hang out with folks that have dirty mouths. I don't hang out with friends that tell dirty jokes. I have friends that tell some Polack jokes and some weird jokes sometimes. Brother Perry tells some good jokes, but usually here's a one-liners. I mean, he has some of the best one-liners. I think he has some show he watches every day or something he listens to and gets those one-liners. Oh, you getting them from Roy? Oh, Brother Sells, getting them from Brother Sells. The problem now, used to he could tell me jokes and I'd go home and tell my wife, or I'd go up to school and tell all the kids. Now he tells me the jokes and I forget it. And by the way, the good news is he can tell me the same joke a week later and I laugh just as hard because I can't remember from the last time he told me. So he really likes to tell me jokes now because he just has one joke that's really funny. He just keeps telling me over and over again and I don't remember, so it's just hilarious every time. But again, you got to close the gate on those evil influences. You do not want to let them in. Number five, you want to close the gate to protect your loved ones. In Luke chapter 11, notice verse 7. Luke 11, verse 7 says, And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now that's a guy that had went to him trying to get some bread. And what he said is, you know what? We're locked up for the night. We're all locked down. Most of you have the same routine I do. Before you go to bed, you go and you check. Now, I don't have to check the windows because we don't open the windows, but if you're one that opens the windows, you got to go check the windows, you check the doors, and you make sure stuff's locked. You might even open up the front porch and click, click. I mean, make sure the car is locked. But I check the door every night before I go to bed. Because again, understand that doesn't always assure you that the enemy is out, but it makes it much harder for the enemy to get in. Again, you want to close the gate to protect your loved ones. Now, if we will protect our earthly possessions, Why in the world wouldn't we protect our kids and our teens and our loved ones? I mean, again, no worldly possession is worth more than them, is near as valuable as they are. We will buy safes, I mean expensive safes, and put stuff in. We need to make sure that we put just as much effort and just as much money in keeping ourselves and our children safe from the outside influences. Number six, and if you notice, I'm trying to hurry on, so I actually get through in a few moments. Number six, be wise who you give the gate combination to. I remember years ago, and my kids were just teenagers, so they wasn't thinking. My kids met somebody, and I think it was Jacob. He had met some gal long before he met Rachel. Thank goodness he found out what she was like and waited for Rachel, and God gave him a good thing. But that young lady, he brought her out, and then she had some brothers. They wanted to come out and hunt and fish and see the farm, and then Jacob told him about my guns and said, I want them to come out so they can see your guns. I said, I'm not showing them my guns. He said, Dad, why not, man? I trust him. I said, you may trust him. I don't. By the way, they're not your guns. You want to show him your gun? He had one gun. I said, you want to show him your gun? Knock yourself out. Show him your gun all you want. I'm not showing him my guns. Take me a long time to get those things, and I've saved them, and I've had them. And I don't have a pile of them, but the ones I had, I did not. And I said, even if they are good fellas, if they go to school and talk to their friends about some guy, man, we went to this guy's house, man, he has all kinds of... I said, you know what? All those guys are not guys you know or trust. And teenagers do talk. By the way, adults talk. I mean, so I said, not showing them my guns. Can we shoot? I said, yeah, if they want to come out, they can shoot their stuff. I'll watch them while they shoot. That's one of the rules I have. If you want to shoot on my property, as long as I'm available there to watch you and make sure you're not shooting my cows or my fish or my chickens or my kids, I mean, I'm okay with that. Now, if you want to shoot the rabbit, you can get by with that, but that's just because I'm going to be planting a garden soon and they're going to be a problem. But I said, I'm not showing them my guns, and they're not shooting my guns, and I'm not going to take them through the house and show them the stuff I got. I don't take strangers, I mean, folks that I don't know. Now, you have to be careful because sometimes you will let someone in, and unbeknowing to you, you let someone in that then runs their mouth off, and by the way, you open the gate to them. Now, from time to time, we'll change the combination on our lock. Sometime a while back, someone tried again, and they said, hey, Brother Block, you changed the combination. I said, yep. They said, what is it? And I said, wouldn't you like to know? That's what I told them. Wouldn't you like to know? Now, typically, I don't change. I mean, the truth is, I tell people all the time, the gate's not the most dangerous thing on my property. The most dangerous thing on my property is my wife. I tell people all the time, you get past the gate, get past the dog, get past the guard cats, then you have to face Mr. Block. Now, I'm nice. I probably would politic. I'd probably try to talk you out of stuff. She's one of those people that shoots first and asks questions later. Now, there are folks that are actually afraid of my wife. Sometimes someone will call me and say, Brother Block, I'm going to buy this. Can you call your wife and tell her so she don't shoot me? So I guess that most time people pay no attention when I say something from the pulpit. But apparently that part they got. Because they're calling and say, I'm going to go to the house, and can you please let your wife know so she doesn't shoot me? Now, the truth is, my wife probably wouldn't shoot most of you anyway. A couple of you, she'd probably wound you. I mean, maybe shoot you in the leg or the foot, not your ear, something like that, just to let you know, don't come in here unless you've been asked. But no, my wife probably wouldn't shoot most of us. But total stranger, she would have no problem. I mean, now me, unless they're messing with something, unless they've stolen something, unless they've done something really bad, I probably wouldn't shoot them. Now, where I live, I can actually shoot a gun up in the air and not get in trouble. You try that in the city, you're going to go to jail. You can't shoot a gun. You can't put a gun up in the air and shoot it up in the air and scare someone away in town. You're going to go to jail for discharging a firearm in the city limits. At where I live, I want to walk out my front porch. That's one of the reasons I live in the country. I want to walk out my front porch and shoot my shotgun up in the air 3 or 4 times and reload it and shoot it some more. I can do that. Fact is, I could go out with 2 guns. And I could go boom, 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 boom. I could do all that. Now, I don't do that because the shells are too expensive. I mean, I'm a tightwad, so I don't. I typically don't even practice shooting very much because I hate shooting the ammo because it costs so much. But I can. But the truth is, you don't want to let certain people in. You want to be very careful who you let into your house. Now, my parents would never let me go to anyone else's house. They would let people come to our house. You know why? Because at our house, Mom and Dad was there. Anytime we had company come over, Mom and Dad was always there. My parents never let us. If they were gone, now my parents were never gone for the weekend. But if my parents were gone for the weekend, trust me, that would be one time that nobody would be allowed over, regardless of who they were. My parents were always out there. I mean, we might have 10 other kids from the church or some neighborhood kids, but my mom and dad was right there. They controlled every bit of it. And that's a really wise thing to do because, by the way, not all evil influences are out there in the world. Sometimes evil influences can be in your house or be close by. Again, be wise who you give the combination to. Ephesians in your Bibles, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now what he's saying is don't give them any place. Don't let him, don't give him any part of the property. Don't let him have a little corner. Don't let him have a little spot over there. Give him no place. Don't give a place to the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now he's not saying abstain from the very dangerous things. He's saying stay away from all of it. You know there's a lot of little sins that lead to bigger sins. Now I've never been one that took any kind of drugs, but there's lots of drugs that they call gateway drugs. And the reason they call them gateway drugs is that's typically what you'd start with before you head into some other stuff. Now, again, I have no idea whether what they're saying is true or not. I'm not going to try any of the drugs because I don't want to be addicted to any of that stuff, and I don't think it's glorifying to God to do so. But the truth is there are some that what they tell you is it opens doors to other stuff, to bigger and worse things. The truth is when you see that a person robbed a bank, that probably wasn't their first robbery. They probably shoplifted first. Or they probably stole something from their parents, or stole something from someone else, stole something from someone in the neighborhood. They probably didn't walk into a bank with a mask on and a gun, and that probably wasn't their first robbery. Probably wasn't the first thing they ever stole. They started small, and they worked their way up to something bigger than that. Typically, a person who kills somebody, unless it's an accident, unless it wasn't planned, but they're mean, they beat people up, and they threaten. I mean, it'll be a bully first, and then it goes to other stuff, and then it ends up with him taking somebody's life. Again, that's why he tells you, you know what? You abstain from all appearance. If it even looks like it's bad, stay away from it. That's why I don't eat guacamole. It just looks like it's bad. I don't know if it is, but it just looks like it could be bad. Some of y'all think about that. Just joking. And number 7, and I'll be done. The gate is a deterrent. It's not a 100% sure thing to protect us. It's a deterrent. Now, my gate, if you come out to my property, my gate is a big metal pole. Pretty reinforced. If you're going to run your car or truck into my gate, and again, the gate comes this way, and it closes. There's a great big pole. There's a great big, probably 8 or 10 inch pipe here, cement in the ground, and the pole comes. So if you was going to come from the outside try to get in, you would tear your vehicle all up trying to batter through my gate. And that still isn't going to get you in. You're still not in the house. You're just on the property. But the truth is, a gate. There are some things though that wouldn't have to come through the gate. Years ago, I don't remember if I've told you or not, I know I've told the teenagers. Years ago, my wife and I almost always would take a nap Sunday afternoon. Jacob at that time was with us for a while. He was saving money to go on out. He'd already been out on his own, and he changed jobs, so he was back at the house for a short time. And he would come over sometimes to wash clothes. And so that Sunday afternoon, we was taking a nap. My wife heard someone in the kitchen, and she thought that it was Jacob. So that night at church, we told Jacob, "Why didn't you come wake us up when you came in?" And he said, "I didn't come in." And now, we thought, so maybe my wife heard something. So we walked out on the front porch that evening on the way to church, and the neighbor's dog who'd been over chasing my dog, because I had a female dog and it was a male dog, teach him to mess with my dog. I mean, the guy didn't see my dog, but had shot the neighbor's dog, killed the neighbor's dog, laying there in my front yard. It came in the house. And now again, I didn't usually lock the house Sunday afternoon. I came in. I mean, I live on the farm. I didn't usually lock the doors. I do now. But I didn't always lock the doors. Now I lock the door in the deadbolt, so I mean they'd have to kick it in to get in now or break a window to get in, and we'd hear that. But at that time we left the front door open. And we thought it was Jacob, but it was someone that came in. So understand, the gate didn't deter them. The gate was locked. I always locked the gate. I closed the gate because of the livestock. So they crawled over the gate and they came in and they got onto the property. Now understand. Thankfully, they didn't do anything, and we were fine. But again, a gate doesn't deter everybody. Closing the gate doesn't stop everything. There are some things that go under the gate. There's some things that go over the gate. This year has been a real bad year for rattlesnakes. I had not seen a rattlesnake in 3 or 4 years. I guess because we had some rains last year. When that drought, I guess a bunch of them died off, or they just wasn't very active. But this last year, including the one I was going to show it to you, but I left it laying down on the counter yesterday, and it really stinks really bad. So. And when Jerry brought it into me, I thought, good Lord, that's enough to gag a maggot. And I thought, the girls told me this morning, they said, you left your snake out. And so I will show it. But it's a little bitty rattlesnake. Not very big at all. Just a little bitty rattlesnake. And I found him Monday. The Castile kids was over helping me do some work. And then the evening after they went home, I was still out there working. And I had a stump that I was going to pour some gas on because I was just dumping out an old chainsaw out of the old gas, and the little filter fell down right there by the stump. So I got down on my knees, reached down to grab that filter with my fingers, and I couldn't get my fingers there because there was some concrete. I put a bunch of pieces of concrete block that had been scattered around. I threw them over there by there. I moved a piece of concrete block to reach down and get that filter, and the little rattlesnake was curled up right there. I mean, just inches from me. Now, the good news is he wasn't noticing me. I noticed him right away. And again, if you've been around snakes often enough, you realize a rattlesnake doesn't look like any. I mean, you'll know a rattlesnake as soon as you see it. He didn't have to rattle. Now, a little bit later when I tried to kill him, he was rattling. But again, that's the fifth one I've killed this year. He's little. A few weeks ago, I mean, during the summertime, Miss Reese came over one day to drop something off. I think it was the day I stayed home, and she brought some food for my wife because my wife was sick and I was staying home with her. And she came up to the door, knocked on the door. I answered the door, and she says, "I think you have a rattlesnake out there by your gate." Now, that's a different Mary Reese than used to live in town. The old Mary Reese that lived in town, she'd have been screaming and hollering, but she'd lived out in the country enough, she'd seen a few rattlesnakes. And sure enough, there's a trash can laying right there by my gate, laying down, and that rattlesnake had crawled in, about 4 foot long, had crawled in that, and he was in there. When she came through the gate, he was rattling. You could hear him buzzing. If you've ever heard a rattlesnake buzz, you know what it is, and it's a really distinct noise. And that rattlesnake was in that trash can right through my front yard. Then I killed one when he was out cutting brush. I mean, I killed five snakes this year, five rattlesnakes. They didn't, I mean, the gate doesn't keep them out. I can have all kinds of gates, and they're still going to get in. So, again, the gate is not 100% deterrent. It's not going to, it doesn't protect us from everything. Let me give you some gates in your life, and then I'll be done. First off, family is a gate. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 makes this statement. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And here's what he says. I mean, if one can't stop him, then two gives you a better chance. And by the way, three, I mean, it makes it much safer. And again, it is only as important for you to understand, if you have a good, godly family, husbands, and when you're weak, hopefully your wife's not weak at the same time. She will prop you up. She'll give you some strength. Wives, when you're weak, hopefully your husband's not weak at the same time. He'll prop you up. And then you have the godly kids. I mean, if your kids, you've got... So again, a family can be a good gate. I mean, something to help detour us, something to help keep us strong, keep us out of trouble. The church can be. Matthew chapter 16 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And here's what he said. He said, the church... is a weapon. The church is powerful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us that we ought to go to it often, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And there's none of us with any kind of sense that doesn't realize the day is soon approaching. So what he says, you know what the church can be? It can be one of those things that help protect us. The Christian school. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, to train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Again, the church, the Christian school or the home school can be a gate, can be a strength, can be something to help protect us from the evil. The Word of God is. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Again, the Word of God is a gate. The Word of God is a protection. If you're like me at your house, you probably don't just have the door. You probably have the knob that has a lock on it. You probably have a deadbolt. I've been to places where they didn't just have one deadbolt, they had two or three or four deadbolts. And by the way, if you know anything about deadbolts, especially it depends on how far that deadbolt goes in, there are people that have deadbolts that are really, really long. I mean, they put it all the way through, not just the frame, but they put it into the stud next to it. And again, the more locks it's on there, the harder it is. It's hard to, if you've ever seen these guys try to kick in a door, if it just has a doorknob, it's pretty easy to kick. It's easy. You can pick a regular doorknob with a pocket knife or a screwdriver. You can't do that with a deadbolt. Screwdriver and pocket knife doesn't do you a bit of good with a deadbolt. Not going to happen. But again, if we end up with several locks, it just makes the things that we're trying to keep safe much safer. Your Christian leaders are a gate. In Hebrews chapter 13, Brother Nichols was in chapter 13, either last week, the week before. I remember him talking about these verses in verse 7 and verse 17. Both make the similar statement, but in verse 17 it says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now he says, they're watching out, they're trying to protect your soul. They're trying to keep you safe. No, they're not trying to rob you of your joy. No, they're not trying to make you miserable. No, they're not trying to grind you into the ground. They're trying to make it where you actually, just like the Bible says that authority is all authority is supposed to. All authority is supposed to make the bad crowd scared and protect the right crowd. That's what authority is supposed to do. Now, that doesn't always work today in today's society, but that's how the authority was set up. That was what government was set up to do, to make the wrong crowd afraid and to make the right crowd feel safe. But again, understand, the gate's not 100% deterrent. Sometimes we have to have something besides the gate. That's why even if you have the gate, and you have the door, and you have the knobs, most of us either have a dog, or we have a gun, or we have an alarm. And by the way, every one of those things that we have makes us that much, now none of them completely assure that we're going to be safe. But each one of them makes us a little bit safer than we would be without those things. And again tonight, realize the devil wants to take us like he wanted to take Peter and sift him. I mean, he wants to mess you up. The devil like to take us like the lion. He wants to take the lion when he's roaring. He's saying, I'm hungry, and I'm going to get on the hunt in just a moment. I'm going to find something to kill and eat. The devil wants to destroy us. We want to be wise and have some gates in our Christian life. And again, understand, sometimes many of the gates will come from here at church, the things you learn at church. Sometimes they often will say that knowledge is power, and sometimes it is, the things we know. I told the kids today, one of the things that often happens, we pay people for the knowledge that they have. When you take your car to a mechanic, you know what you're paying him? You're paying him for the knowledge he has. If you're paying an electrician, you're paying him for knowledge he has. Now, if you have that knowledge, you don't have to pay him. If you know how to work on your own car, you save yourself a lot of money. If you know how to fix your own toilet, you save yourself a lot of money. If you know how to do your own electrical stuff, and by the way, you ought to make sure you know how to do it right, otherwise you'll end up with a lot bigger bill from the stuff you do. I used to be really bad doing electrical stuff. Now I've actually learned a little bit from some of the other folks. But I remember one time my wife had me try to fix her mixer. Did your curling iron work? It did, right? Yes, ma'am. We fixed her curling iron. But one time years ago, I didn't know as much now about as I did do now about electrical stuff. So she gave me her mixer, and she said it doesn't work. So I took it all apart, and I messed around with it, put it all back together, and it did work. The problem was when it was off, it wasn't off. When it was supposed to do the one thing it did, I mean, I somehow didn't have the switch right, so I mean, it didn't do the things when it was supposed to do it. So it was like when it was off, it was on. When it was supposed to go the one direction, it went the other direction. It was supposed to go really slow, it was going really fast. So next time I volunteered to fix my wife's stuff, she says, "No, that's okay. I'll ask Brother Peugeot." And it smote my heart, and I said, "Baby, that's just not nice. That's not right." But she said, "I'll just ask Brother Peugeot if he can fix it." Because the other night, she wanted me to do something, and I said, "I'll do it." And she said, "No, I'll ask so-and-so." And it was someone that has more knowledge about that than I do. But again, understand, the more you know you are, it does make you safer. It makes you more valuable. So again, learn the Word of God. Learn the truths of the Word of God. There's a lot of things in the Bible to protect us. Sometimes we just, because we're smart, we just evade a trap. We recognize it for what it is. It's a trap of the devil. It's a temptation. It's something that's going to lead us into something that we shouldn't be. I mean, it's going to take us down the wrong road. And we have enough sense to realize that. And again, we want to make sure that we close a gate on the devil and on the devil's temptations, on the devil's crowd. Keep ourselves and keep our families safe from the devil's attacks. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize how important it is to close the gate. You told us in Ezekiel that that gate was to stay closed because that's where you came in.